Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere, saying, What is man that thou rememberest him, or the son of man that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and has appointed him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing thy praise. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Amen. So we were talking about, we're going to look through Hebrews whenever I get a chance to share at EMP. And really, Hebrews is a book that talks about Jesus Christ. It's a book where we can really meditate upon who Christ is and what he has done. So even in this chapter, chapter 2, what we want to do is mainly focus on Jesus Christ and think about him and who he is and what he has done in our lives. So we start off in chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Basically, the writer of Hebrews is saying, you better pay attention to what Jesus Christ has said. Because in chapter 1, he says, you know, God used to speak long ago through prophets and through different methods, but now in the last days, God has spoken through his Son. So in chapter 2, he's saying, well, let's pay attention to what Jesus Christ is saying, what God is saying through Jesus Christ, the salvation that is offered to us. And it was also confirmed by the signs and wonders and the miracles that God has done through Jesus Christ and through the apostles and also the Holy Spirit that has been poured out. So pay attention to what he's saying. And then he goes on to kind of explain what Jesus Christ has done. And from verse 5 to verse 8, it's a quote from the book of Psalms, talking about mankind, right? Talking about humans and saying, it's saying that, you know, what is man, God, that you remember him, that you are concerned about him? You made him a little while lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. And it says in verse 7, the second half, and you have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And this is kind of the idea. I don't know if you were here when Dr. Charles Kraft was here at church, but he was kind of talking about how as people we have authority over the creation that God has made, right? And that was God's original design. When God created Adam and Eve, He put Adam and Eve in charge over creation, right? Except Adam and Eve gave away that authority to the enemy when they fell into sin, when they were tempted and they fell into sin, they gave away the authority that they had. And now the devil is called the prince of this world, right? Because we have given that authority away. So then it says in verse 8, "For in subjecting all things to Him, He left nothing that is not subject to Him." That's talking about man, where it says, "In subjecting all things to mankind, God left nothing that is not subject to man. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to Him." So we don't yet see this come into fulfillment. Even though God has said everything is put under subjection under man, we don't yet see it because we gave that authority away. And probably not until the second coming, right? Until we have the second heaven and second earth, we're not going to see this fully come into reality. But in verse 9, what we do see is Jesus, who also came in flesh and blood like one of us, and He took back the authority from the evil one, and everything is under subjection under Jesus Christ. So what man could not do, basically Jesus came and did it, you know, as a man. Because He, you know, when He came in flesh and blood, the scripture tells us that He became one of our brothers, right? So He became just like us, and in doing so, He's able to win back the authority from the evil one, because He won that back as a human being. Therefore, even now on this earth, we can have this authority, you know. Like, for example, even with weather, you know, like, we don't always see it very... So it's not perfect. We don't see it fully manifest, but we do see it happening. You know, we get to rebuke the enemy, right? In Cascade, we rebuke the enemy and rebuke sicknesses, and sometimes in our rebuke, the sickness has to go and the enemy has to go, you know? And there are things that happen that we don't really understand, and it's a mystery, but definitely we see the authority that we have been given as children of God, because Jesus Christ has come as a human being and won back the authority. So we walk in that authority to a degree, not completely, but we see that a glimpse of that. And like when we pray for good weather, you know, like when I was at Gateway Camp, I was at camp over the summer with my youth group kids, and the weather was pretty bad. It was raining every single day. It was pouring rain every single day. But one of the days, what the camp had wanted to do was set up this huge map of the world, like in this courtyard area that they had on the campus of Lingnan University where we were having the camp. And they wanted a huge map of the world so that kids can go really pray about which nation, you know, God was putting on their hearts, so they can go to the nation and pray for them and kneel and do stuff like that. Obviously, if it's pouring rain, we can't do this. But for that one day, amazing. The rain stopped. And like, it was just, the weather was nice. People were able to do this all day. The map was there, and people were able to go and kneel down and pray and stuff. And I was pretty amazed, because it was raining, and then it rained the next day. But that one day, like, rain stopped. And, you know, we see this happen a lot. Like, when we went to Trish and Bri's wedding, man, the weather was beautiful in Sydney. And Trish told me that she had been praying for unseasonably warm weather. Because, you know, right now it's winter, right, in Australia, and it's supposed to be cold, and it was rainy and very, very cold. But the week leading up to her wedding, that's the week that we were in Sydney, the weather was so beautiful, right? Everybody was saying that it was a heat wave, that it was an unseasonably beautiful and warm weather. And so we see that, I mean, God has given us a measure of authority, or we exercise a measure of the authority that we have been given, and we don't see it come into fulfillment. But anyway, that's the idea here, that earth is subjected to man, but we gave that away, but Jesus came as a human being, as one of our brothers in flesh and blood, and by perfecting salvation, he's able to give us back the authority as well. And then we see, one of the things I wanted to talk about was Sometimes, like when we go through our lives, we see that not everything is according to God's original design. And I think that's a time when we can call out on Jesus and Jesus will be the answer. For example, we went to Cambodia. And Cambodia, there's a lot of suffering, right? There's a lot of things going on there that is not according to what God would originally have wanted. You know, you see, like, I mean, so much injustice, you know, especially with the girls. And, you know, we heard some stories about families where the mom is actually the one selling the daughter, right, into prostitution. And even after the girl is rescued and she comes out of it, she's under the pressure of the family who is telling her to go back into sex work because they want the money. And, like, it's just crazy what's going on. And plus you see, like, the corruption that is going on. And then we feel so hopeless and there's a sadness in our heart. And I was reading a book by Tim Hughes called Holding Nothing Back. He's talking about worship. And he was talking about basically the benefit or the how it's appropriate for Christians to sing songs of lament. You know, if you read through the Psalms, actually over 50% of it is complaining to God, right? It's all about, how can this be, God? Why have you forsaken me? Why is this happening in my life? This is not supposed to be like this. And what that does is, it's just an evidence that we know that there is the original design of God that is not coming into reality in our lives right now. And so there's a cry in our heart, there's a longing in our heart saying, God, you need to come and do something. And C.S. Lewis had this quote, right? He said, if there is a longing in our heart that won't be fulfilled by anything in this world, it's just an evidence that we're made for something beyond this world. He's kind of talking about heaven and how man is created for eternity. But in the same way, I think in this earth now, we see things like what's happening in Cambodia, and then we have the sadness and we have this cry in our heart that says, that is not God's original design. And then we lament, but we also pray, and we pray that God will do something. And so, just as Jesus came to win back the authority, because that was God's original design, that man would have that authority and exercise that authority in this earth, but we failed at it. Well, we gave that away, and Jesus came and became the answer to that. In our own situations, I think when we see things happening in our own lives, like, for example, even, like, if one of us, or if we're living in sin, like, say I'm struggling with a certain sin and I'm, like, struggling all the time, I know that that is not God's original design, you know? I know that this is not how it's supposed to be. And the answer to that will be Jesus, you know? As Jesus, just in the same way that Jesus became the answer to this problem of us not having the authority, Jesus will be the answer in all things that we struggle with, in all things where things are happening that is not the original design of God. Jesus will be the answer. And we call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, come and do something and make this right. Just, you know, I remember P. Sam was teaching about Gideon, and Gideon's an Old Testament character, and he's basically in the time where Israel was being really oppressed by another nation. And so Gideon is so afraid of this nation that he's hiding from them. And I think his, what is that word? He's, wheat. Something about wheat. He's, I don't know, threshing wheat or something? Is that the right word? He's doing something to wheat that he's supposed to do in broad, like, open space, but he's doing it in the wine press, basically hiding from this nation because he's so afraid. And the angel of God comes and says to Gideon, you know, you're a mighty warrior, mighty man of valor. Go and fight this army kind of thing. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm hiding in shame because of this. And God says, the angel says, the Lord is with you, you know. And Gideon says, what? If the Lord is with us, how is this happening to our nation? And the angel says, go in this strength and rescue your nation. And basically, Pastor Sam was teaching that. And when the angel says, go in this strength, the strength that Gideon had was that he had this understanding that what is happening to Israel right now, that is not right. Like, what is happening to them should not be happening if the Lord is with them. So he had this complaint in his heart. He had this anguish in his heart that said, no, this is not what is supposed to be happening. This is not right. And we need to kind of have that. When we see things happening in our lives that is not what is supposed to be happening, you know, it is not the promise of God or it is not the design of God, then we need to have that cry and that stirring in our heart that says, no, God, if you are with us, how can this be happening? And even in a complaining sort of way, but that is our strength to say, no, we're going to do something about it because we know that that is not what God is supposed, or what it says is not what's supposed to happen. And we turn to Jesus because Jesus is the answer. Even in times of difficulty, he is the one that gives us hope and strength and peace. And the second thing I wanted to talk about was this idea that in Jesus Christ we are strong. You know, in Jesus Christ we have peace with God, and in Jesus Christ we're called children of God. You know, in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in verse 17 in Hebrews chapter 2 it says, therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To make propitiation means to appease God. Right? He appeased God in our behalf by sacrificing himself. Right? He gave us peace with God through what he has done on the cross. And so in Jesus Christ we have peace with him. And in Jesus Christ we have that authority, right? That we were supposed to have in the original design. We have that authority in God, in Christ. In verse 14 it says, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So even the devil became powerless in Christ. And when we place ourselves in Jesus Christ, we have the authority and power even over the devil. And I want us to remember that we are strong in Jesus Christ. You know, we're not weak. I used to always feel like I was very weak, you know, that I can't do anything. And my prayer used to always be, God, I'm so weak. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you. I can't do this. I can't do anything. I need you, Holy Spirit. Which is, I guess, a good prayer. But I went to a Bill Johnson conference. He's one of the pastors from the States. And his wife, Benny Johnson, was speaking. And she was speaking about the spirit of poverty. And how in her hometown, everybody struggled with the spirit of poverty, always feeling so weak and so poor. And it really resonated with my heart because I always feel like I'm so poor. I used to always feel like I was so poor. Not materially poor, but spiritually poor. And just feeling so weak all the time. Like, oh, I have nothing. I can't do anything. And at the end of that session, Benny Johnson invited people up for prayer. She said, you know, if you feel like you're struggling with the spirit of poverty and you want some prayer, come up to the front. But I felt like the Holy Spirit began to say to me, and he said, don't go up to the altar. I was like, because I felt like it spoke to me, but God was saying, don't go up for prayer. Basically, God was saying, you don't have to go up for prayer because you are strong already, you know? He was saying, I mean, I feel weak all the time. Even if I feel inside that I'm weak, the truth is the Holy Spirit is in me. And when the Holy Spirit is inside of me, I am actually very, very strong. So God was saying, no, you're strong. I always say, God, I'm so weak, I can't do this. But God is saying, no, you're strong. Stop saying that you're weak because you may feel weak, but the truth is the Spirit of God is in you. And you are so strong because the Spirit of God is in you. You know, it says in John, I think 1 John, it says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, right? The Spirit that is in us is so great and so powerful. And God was saying, don't go up for prayer. So I didn't go up for prayer. And actually, it turned out to be quite crazy, the prayer time. Like, it was so packed. And really, I was glad I didn't go up, you know? And I was just so happy. Like I was so blessed. Just even though I didn't go out for the altar call, God was ministering to my heart and saying, "Yeah, see, like I am with you always. The Spirit of God is in you always." So I stopped saying it. I've stopped saying, "God, I'm so weak," because I know that I'm strong. Like, of course I'm weak without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is in me. Like God says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." So I stopped saying, "Oh, I'm so weak, I can't do this, God, I need you." I've changed that prayer to, "God, I thank you that I'm strong because the Holy Spirit is in me." Because he's in every single one of us, right? As long as we're in Christ, you know, we believe Jesus Christ, we're his children, the Holy Spirit is in us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. So we're strong in Christ. And Hebrews chapter 3, we'll talk about Jesus being our high priest and how through the suffering that he suffered on this earth, he's able to understand what we're going through and make propitiation, you know, appease God. Because he knows what we've been through. And that's what it says in verse 18. "For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted." So we need to remember that Jesus Christ understands what we're going through in our suffering. Jesus Christ, you know, it says God perfected the author of salvation through suffering. So because Jesus went through the suffering on this earth, he's able to understand what we're going through when we go through suffering, and he's able to come to our aid because he understands. You should meditate upon it. It's crazy that somehow, like, God created us, but he also came down to be one of us to really understand and to really experience the suffering with us so that he can come to our aid and he can know what we're going through. But that is true. You know, he does know what we're going through. He does know our pain and our suffering, and he stands in the gap for us, between us and God, and he also comes to help when we need the help because he knows what we're going through. So let's just meditate upon Jesus Christ. We actually don't have a worship leader today, so we'll just pray. We'll just spend a little bit of time. Kenny, if you can just play some music for us, we'll just let's just go before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Thank you.
Bring restoration to our souls, God.
Thank you that
every broken soul,
Jesus Christ, you understand what we're going through. And that you come to our aid, God, when we are suffering and when we are weak. And I thank you that in Jesus Christ, you know, we are so strong and we have peace with you, God. And we are called your children. So we want to remember that. And we just want to look to you today. As we pray, you know, for our church, and as we pray for ourselves, God, we just want to look to you and remember that, Jesus, you understand what we're going through. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chong family, John and Jane, and their children, Daniel, Samuel, and Joseph. Let's pray for, please pray for my parents, Matt and Nate's parents. They're in Qingdao doing ministry. Please pray for Leanne Cheng. She's in Nanjing. That's right, Nanjing, ministering there. So let's pray that, you know, she will really continue to have the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit as to how she can get involved there. Let's pray for the Chichihar children, that Pastor Sam Kim. He's he visits them, you know, regularly. At the orphans, let's pray that God would really bless them and help them to grow up in the Lord and really come to know God. Let's pray for the government of China and the churches, and also our Beijing church plant with Chris and Amy and Hassan Kim and Annie and their whole family. So let's pray for China. Let's pray for the SP staff, the Elder Board, and Missions Committee. Pastor Sam Song right now is in NK, or is in China now, but they'll be going to NK maybe today. I know they have their visas approved, so they'll be going in. They'll be coming back on Sunday. Pray for Pastor Eugene. You know, he just came over on Friday, so he's just settling in. He's going to come to the office starting tomorrow. So please pray for them. And also Pastor Carol and Elijah, their son. And please pray for Pastor Sam Kim as he's transitioning to move to Beijing. Let's pray that they'll be able to get everything done, all the paperwork and everything, so that they'll be able to have peace about moving to Beijing. And let's pray for all the leaders, you know, Elder Board, Mission Committee, and staff, that we will just be intimate with Jesus Christ. That we would, that we would overflow in our hearts. The Spirit of God will overflow. So I just pray for the leaders. Let's pray for Febe Ministry and the Korean Church. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and his family. That God will watch over them, that will continue to bless this ministry so that they may grow and they may fall deeper in love with Jesus. And also let's pray for the Korean Church. Let's pray that the Korean Church, God will just have his hand of protection and favor over them, that that they will become a strong church, you know, a church that really pleases God. So let's pray for the two ministries. Pray for SP 1.5 as we are in the middle of renovations. Let's pray that things will be smooth. Please pray for this person, Winston. Winston is our AV consultant, and God just needs to really bless him, give him wisdom, clarity, so that he can get all the work done that he needs to. And also K plus K, our architects that are working on this together. So pray for them, that God would really give them wisdom and strength. And let's also continue to pray for the Vine, that God will bless them as they move into their sanctuary. And also let's pray for our church with finances too, that people will continue to give and that God will provide for our church. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come before you into your presence, and that we can pray and worship you together. And I pray, Lord, that your presence will be strong here, that we'll be able to sense your presence as we pray, as we spend some time with you. Help us to really connect with you, God, and spend time with you. And I pray that you'll help us to live this day, to glorify you, and to bring joy to your heart today. Walk with us, God. We thank you for your love. I just pray your blessing over each and every person that's here, God. Your favor and your strength and your peace and your love to be upon each and every person here. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.